I see this a lot in my patients who have never had aesthetic treatments before. They come in and they're almost embarrassed or shy to admit that they're interested in getting a cosmetic procedure like botulinum toxin or hyaluronic acid fillers.
Welcome to The Skin Reel, your guide to all things skincare, skin health, beauty, and more, curated by dermatologists and true skin experts. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Alice Mina. I'm a double board certified dermatologist and dermatologic surgeon with over a decade of clinical experience. If you're looking for real, practical, unhyped skincare guidance and expertise, or you just think the skin is really cool, then you're in the right spot. I'm so glad you've tuned in to The Skin Reel. Now let's dive in because this is how dermatologists talk skin. Hi, everyone. Quick disclaimer here before we start. This podcast is for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. If you're looking for help on your skin journey, please check out the American Academy of Dermatology's website, aad.org, where you can search their database for dermatologists near you. It is so important that you have someone in your corner who's well-trained, licensed, and board certified who can help you make decisions when it comes to your skin health. Okay, got it? Great. Now for the fun stuff.
Hi there. Did you know that many of the topics I bring to you on The Skin Reel are things I actually see and treat in my office as a practicing board certified dermatologist? That's right. At Baucom & Mina Derm Surgery, my business partner and I are on a mission to provide exceptional procedural dermatology care in Atlanta, Georgia. We offer skin cancer surgery to large cyst and lipoma removals, to injectables, chemical peels, microcoring, and more advanced techniques with things like liposuction, eyelid lifts, neck lifts, lip lifts, and so much more. But most of all, we love helping our patients transform their skin with real results. You know me, I am all about real skincare by real skin experts, real simple. If you're in the Atlanta area, I hope you'll stop by and see me. You can get more information at my website, atlantadermsurgery.com, or by calling 404-844-0496. I can't wait to see you. Hi, skin friend. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Skin Reel. This is a two-parter podcast episode, and this is part two of Skincare Myths Busted. I loved doing the first episode, busting these common skincare myths that I just cannot believe continue to be so pervasive in the world, but I feel like I just have to shout out the truth so that people like you listening know the facts and know how to really take care of your skin and your body and your skin's health. So I'm super excited to bring you today Skincare Myths Busted, numbers 6 through 10. Now, maybe you were a little curious. Maybe you got the lead magnet that I have on Skincare Myths Busted and you went ahead and you peeked, but I am going to just break stuff down even further. So even if you have read that, you're still going to want to tune in so that you don't get tricked by some of these skincare myths that are out there. So number 6 is that getting older is the worst thing. It's terrible. We need to anti-age and nothing good happens from it. Now, I feel like this was the narrative for much of my life. I mean, I remember thinking at 40, the world was over and that you might as well just be put out to pasture. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like, no way, like not even 60s old anymore. And just as I get older and older, I just keep thinking that my concept of what is old keeps getting pushed farther and farther back. That being said, I do notice changes in my body, changes in my appearance, changes in my skin and the texture. So I know that aging is happening. I can feel it. I can see it, but I don't necessarily have to be afraid of it. I don't have to be terrified by it. I don't have to do everything in my power, in my might to prevent it, to reverse it, to make myself look like I did when I was 20. And that's one of the great things about aging that I think some people get, maybe not everyone, but it's that this sense of self-confidence. I no longer feel like I have to buy the same thing all my friends have or buy X, Y, or Z to fit in. I'm okay with not looking exactly like my friends or wearing the same hairstyle or clothes or brand. And I certainly didn't feel that way when I was in my teens and my 20s. Fitting in was so important to me back then. And I was definitely more unsure of myself. So I definitely see this as a blessing in getting older, is that my priorities have realigned. I'm no longer worried about getting the career that I wanted or finding the spouse that I want. I'm more settled in that. My friendships have become tighter and more close-knit, even though I maybe don't have as many friends as I did in the past. The friends that I have are really, really special and valuable. So getting older, it's a gift. And we say that, but I really want you to believe it. So maybe say it until you believe it, right? I love this concept of not just gracefully aging, but grateful aging, where you appreciate what's happening. Now, acknowledge the changes, understand them, don't be fearful about them, maximize your health. That starts with how you eat, how you sleep, what you drink, what you consume, how you spend your time, your mental energy. All of this is going to affect how you feel. And I don't mind aging so long as my genetic age does not match my chronologic age. And what I mean by that is your chronologic age is how old you are based on the calendar, right? So I'm going to be 44 in a couple of months, maybe 44 by the time this comes out. So I'm going to be 44 this year, but I don't feel 44. My genetic age seems a lot younger than 44 because I try to take care of my body, or I'm trying, right? I'm trying to make up for the decades that I didn't with nutrition, with sleep, with protein, not drinking as much, and managing my stress better. And that's because I want my genetic age to be significantly younger than my chronologic age. I want health span, not just lifespan. I want to be healthy and active for as long as possible. And so I don't mind aging if I can be healthy and active for as long as possible. So I love that we're kind of reframing. I think we still have a ton of ways to go, but I love this sort of movement of women who are menopausal, postmenopausal, rising up saying, we are not invisible. We are not just being put out to pasture and forgotten about, that our health matters, and how to really focus on optimizing women's health from really menopause onward. Because a lot of women's health, or I would say most of women's health, is really focused on the reproductive years, how to get pregnant, how to not get pregnant, and how to nurture a baby and then raise children. And then we just kind of forget about women's health after that. But I think that is definitely changing. And I love that. And I'm so empowered to see women ahead of me saying, hey, this isn't the end of your life just because you hit menopause or after menopause, that there's still so much you can do. You can be healthy. You don't have to have frail bones and fractures, and there are things you can do. Same thing with your skin. Your skin is going to change. There are some things that do happen with aging, but how do you mitigate those? How do you lessen the side effects you don't want? How do you keep your skin as healthy as possible? How do you boost your collagen as much as possible? And so that's what I love to talk about on this podcast. But a lot of it comes from how you take care of your body, acknowledging what's going on, and then you can finally embrace aging. So don't be afraid of aging. It's just another stage in life. It's going to be different, but different doesn't mean bad. So here is skincare myth number 7, that getting aesthetic treatments are going to make you look fake and unnatural. Now, I see this a lot in my patients who have never had aesthetic treatments before. They come in and they're almost embarrassed or shy to admit that they're interested in getting a cosmetic procedure like botulinum toxin or hyaluronic acid fillers. Or sometimes they just tell me, hey, what do you think I need? And a lot of times if I do happen to mention fillers, they get really nervous, like, oh my gosh, I can't have that. That's going to make me look fake or phony or cartoony or not like myself. And what I have to tell people is all cosmetic treatments can be done in a very natural way. And really, I think that's the best way to get them done, where people don't really know you had something done. They just maybe come up to you and say, hey, you look really great. Like, are you wearing new makeup, or did you style your hair a different way, or did you just get back from vacation? You look super rested. That's the goal, at least for me. I don't want people to come up to me and say, oh, I see you had lip filler last week, right? And I've done lip filler, I've done cheek filler, and I'll tell people, do I look unnatural? And I guess I should be careful. But typically people are surprised. They'll say, oh, you've had that done, or you get Botox, or you've done this. And I'll say, yeah, because it can be done in a really natural way, in a subtle way. Now, it certainly can be overdone, but for a lot of people who are getting that overdone look, that's the look they're going for. They want that. They want that sort of exaggerated look. That's kind of their persona. And in order to do that, you have to spend a lot of money. So it's not just going to happen accidentally. You really have to spend a lot of money. One little syringe of filler is not going to make you look like a caricature and unrecognizable or totally overdone or bloated. Now, that being said, you do have to be careful, because doing a little bit of something all the time, over and over, placed in the wrong way, maybe too much, can cause puffiness, swelling. And I find that sometimes people get this distorted view of themselves where they can't even remember what they look like before they started doing some of these treatments. And they're constantly on the quest for perfection and removing every single line on their face or every little sign of aging. And they keep wanting more and more and more. And they're never satisfied because they never quite get to 100%. And so even if they're at 98%, they're not satisfied. And that's where I think people run into a problem, because they forget where they came from. They forget what they used to look like. They're staring at themselves day in and day out, and their imperfections, that's all they can see. And by trying to wipe those out completely, they end up overdoing it. And so that's why it's also important to have a relationship with a provider like your dermatologist or plastic surgeon who remember what you look like, maybe even took pictures of what you look like before you started everything. And they can also guide you to say, hey, you know what? I think this is too much. I don't think that's the right choice for you. I don't think that's going to be the best option. It's going to leave you with maybe a more unnatural result than you realize. And have the courage to tell you no. I always say that's so important, because in this kind of cash-based aesthetic cosmetic industry, lots of people are wanting to do it because it is cash and they think it's quick, easy money. And they're not going to tell you no, because their goal is to sell you something, to use that laser, to use their filler that they bought. But I do find, at least in my practice, is sometimes you just got to say no, that it's not going to serve you. That's not the right choice for you right now. And it's okay to have a line. It's okay to have a wrinkle. It's okay to have a little skin laxity. That makes you look real. And trying to eliminate all of that can give you fake results. But when done well, when done judiciously, carefully, and again, I really like just a little bit along the way, I find that you can really stave off having to do major stuff, and it can give very natural results, which is the goal I'm looking for, right? I want to look my best every year, every decade, but I still want to look like myself. Now, what about skincare myth number 8? This one, also a really big one I hear a lot, and that is that if something is non-invasive, it must be safe. And this couldn't be farther from the truth. And I tell all my patients, and I tell you on the podcast, that everything has complications, or the potential for complications. Everything has risk. Everything that we do, there's no cosmetic treatment that we do that does not have a risk. Even something like a biopsy has a risk. The skin could get infected. Botox, there could be swelling. It could be placed incorrectly, or it could diffuse and hit muscles we don't want. You could get bruising. And again, that's kind of expected, at least bruising. You stick a needle in someone's skin. But again, everything can have a complication, and everyone can get complications. But the better trained you are, the more skills you have, the more knowledge you have of the underlying anatomy and the safety of devices and who to use it on and who not to use it on, then the risk of complications drops considerably. But again, there are always risks. Fillers, I think people think filler is just something, I mean, you can even do at home. And filler has risks, the main one being that that filler can actually be injected into an artery. And when that happens, it blocks off the blood supply to all the skin after, and you get what's called necrosis, or essentially the skin dies. It becomes dark in color, and it can't survive. And sometimes this can lead to pretty bad scarring. And unfortunately, it's been reported. It's rare, but it happens. You can actually have blindness from filler depending on where it's placed. So that's why it's not something to just think, oh, it's so easy. It's non-invasive. It's just a tiny needle. Again, everything can have complications. And that's why it's important to see someone well-trained, because you want them to know what to do if and when those complications occur. Same thing with these laser and energy-based devices. I think people have this false sense of security. They think, it's not surgery. What's the worst thing that can happen, right? It's just a laser, right? It's hard for us to realize that that laser is actually firing. It's doing something. It's generating heat. It's generating tissue injury deeper. And you can get really bad, actually, complications from lasers and energy-based devices. I think probably the most common is with laser hair removal, which you can find laser hair removal places everywhere. But if you have the wrong skin type, the wrong settings are used, you can get really severe burns that can leave permanent scarring or discoloration of the skin that, even if it's not permanent, can last for months and months. So do your research, do your due diligence. If you're paying money for a cosmetic procedure, it's not something that has to be done. Make sure you are seeing really the best, most well-trained person, because again, all of these things, they carry risk no matter who you get it done with. But those risks are mitigated. The rates of complications are lower if you're seeing someone well-trained. But don't fool yourself that just because it's not surgery, it can have complications. This is kind of piggybacking off of skincare myth number 8, and that's skincare myth number 9, that having a, quote, certification makes you a skilled cosmetic injector. This is where sometimes it can feel like the wild, wild west with aesthetic procedures out there. Again, lots of people are opening up shop. They're seeing cosmetic procedures as a quick way to inject money into whatever industry or business that they have. They may think it's fun and enjoy it themselves and think, hey, I'm a doctor. How hard can it be? And sometimes the physician will just be overseeing people, non-physicians, injectors, and people like that. And they also have no aesthetic training whatsoever. So if you are getting a cosmetic procedure, do your due diligence. I sometimes find that people will research a battery or light bulb on Amazon more than they will research who is doing their procedure. So don't be afraid to ask them, how many of these procedures have you done? What are your qualifications? Was it a weekend course or was it years and years of training? Is there a physician on site if there are complications? What are the complications or risk involved with this procedure? And then what do you do if that happens? So don't be afraid to ask these questions. This is your body. This is your health. You're paying cash for these things. It doesn't have to be done. And you're looking to get an improvement, right? So there really is no wiggle room for a bad outcome. So you can help mitigate that by choosing someone really well-skilled who knows the anatomy, who knows the risk, who knows their device, and knows how it works. I hate when I see patients come to me with complications because they've had procedures done elsewhere that they really don't even know what they had done. For instance, I had a lady who had lip filler in Korea, and she wanted me to dissolve it, and it was incredibly lumpy. It was placed way too far back and a very bad cosmetic outcome. And I didn't even know the substance that was injected into her skin, whether it was hyaluronic acid or not, whether I could even dissolve it. So again, don't be afraid to ask, wait, what am I getting done? What is this product? What is this procedure? Make sure you know, because this is your body and you want to make sure you get the best possible outcome. And complications can occur, but again, it is lessened with someone who is well-trained, and also someone who is well-trained knows what to do. Another example I'll give you is I had a picture from a friend of a friend of a friend. Someone who is a non-plastic surgeon, cosmetic surgeon, was overseeing a laser hair removal clinic, and the person doing the procedure burned this person's skin. And now they are sending pictures out saying, how do I treat this? What do I do? Help, essentially. So you don't want to be on the receiving end of that. You want to know that if you do have a complication or a burn or dispigmentation or discoloration, that the person doing your procedure knows what to do and knows how to either make that less likely or to treat it if it does occur. So Groupon's not a good option. Getting the best deal possible, the lowest price possible, not something you want to do for your cosmetic or aesthetic treatments. And lastly, you can get healthy skin by using products alone. This is a big misnomer. I find people think skincare is simply what you put on your skin and the products that you use. And if you use really expensive ones, then everything's going to be fine. But I like to say that healthy skin, it starts from within, and that skincare is whole body care. You cannot abuse your body, eat crappy food, never exercise, and smoke or drink a lot and not sleep and be totally stressed out and expect your skin to look beautiful because you use a expensive skincare cream. It's just not going to work that way. Instead, you got to get the foundational pieces for healthy skin first, and that is going to be taking care of your body. You got to think about what you put into your body, what you consume, making sure it's a healthy diet, whole foods, stick to kind of the perimeter of the grocery store, protein, lean proteins, healthy fat, minimizing carbohydrates, maximizing your fiber, maximizing antioxidant-rich food like fruits and vegetables. This is all going to give you beautiful, healthy, glowy skin. You also want to think about how you are treating your body. Are you exercising? Are you walking? Are you pretty sedentary and not moving a lot? Because if you're not moving a lot and your muscles are atrophying and you're gaining weight or have more fat than muscle, your skin is not going to glow either. So you've got to move your body, exercise, and studies have actually shown that resistance training can help thicken your dermis, which is the layer of skin that has collagen. So resistance training may actually boost your collagen. So another great reason to hit the gym, exercise, lift weights, not just cardio, but actually lifting weights. And I love yoga. To me, yoga is not just physical exercise, it's mental. And I need that to help de-stress, to help me relax. It's kind of meditative for me. And for me, I love yoga for that reason. Also, managing your stress, so, so important. They found that people who are stressed about aging, who think negatively about aging, they actually live shorter and more unhealthy lives than people who think positively about it. So mindset, it's so, so important. You can look at the world in two ways, right? You can look at it negatively or you can look at it in a positive light. When you manage your stress, you manage your mind, your skin, your body is going to reap the benefits. So that, I think the whole body care is something that I think was sort of neglected in the past, but we're definitely seeing this emphasis now on how all the organs really work together, how taking care of your body first and foremost can really help prevent some of these chronic inflammatory conditions that we're seeing running rampant in our society. And your skin is also affected by that. Sleep, this is super critical. If you've ever had an all-nighter studying or had insomnia and couldn't sleep, your skin doesn't look great the next day. So sleep is critical for beautiful skin. Drinking lots of fluid, lots of water, and minimizing alcohol, another great way to keep your skin glowing. So skincare is so much more than just the topical stuff you put on your skin. The foundational work is really how you take care of your body. I hope you've enjoyed part two, skincare myths. If you missed the first 1 through 5, you're definitely going to want to scroll back on your podcast to find that a few weeks earlier. And you can also, if you want to see this all written out and emailed to you, you can go to theskinreel.com/myths. And you can get my freebie PDF on skincare myths. And I'm sure I will do more because there are so many that I'm constantly trying to squash out there. But I felt like these were like the top 10. And I really wanted to get this message across. And I hope you've gained something valuable by listening. And I hope you'll tune in next week. That's all I've got for this week's episode of the Skin Reel podcast. But here's some great news. One of the most valuable things you can do to help me and other new potential listeners to find my show is for you to both rate this show and leave a review. So, as a special bonus for you, if you leave me a review, take a screenshot and email it to info at theskinreal.com, and I will send you a thank you free PDF on skincare truths versus hype, because you know I love spreading the word of good, truthful skincare. And please be sure to share with your skin friends so that we can get the word out there about real skin. And until next time, remember, no matter where you are in your skincare journey, always remember to love the skin you're in, because real skincare from real experts can be real simple.